We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.
We are about to begin a roller coaster ride that will last over the next 6 months. The baseball season is a roller coaster ride. We treat sometimes every baseball game like a football game around here. The emotions get very, very high. The emotions get very, very low. Our team sucks. Our team's the best. We're going to win the World Series. We're awful. Everybody should be fired. And that happens every baseball season, whether you're a Yankee fan or you're a Met fan. It's a part of what makes our city so unique. We treat this sport like it's football. But I've noticed something in the buildup to opening day. We are now a little over 24 hours away from the Yankees opening up the campaign in Houston against the Rangers. We'll have to wait another day on the Mets because if you're just tuning in, Thursday, tomorrow, officially rained out. They will play opening day on Friday, 1:40 at Citi Field. But what I have noticed over the last few weeks, and tell me if you've noticed this as well, the Met fan started very negative to the point where about a month ago we opened the show and I was telling you, hey, I really am positive about this team.
Yes.
And you thought I was crazy. Sean thought I was crazy. A lot of Met fans, not all, thought I was crazy. Sal thought I was crazy. Like, what is this based on? Is he just delusional because he hosts the Rico Bronian? Like, where is this coming from? And I gave my reasons on why I thought the Mets would have a better year than people thought. And since then, they've done one thing. Now, I admit that one thing is nice, and it's good, and it makes you feel nice, and that is signing a 36-year-old designated hitter in J.D. Martinez. But there is no way I can compute in my brain Met fans thinking they were going to suck into, hey, you never know, based on that one move. That one move makes the Mets better, no doubt, but does it make them 10 games better? Does it make them change how you feel about this team if you initially thought they suck and now you think they can compete for a playoff spot? So I've noticed this from a lot of Met fans, not all. There's been a change from negativity to positivity. One last thing, and I'm curious to see if you buy this.
Go ahead.
The Yankee fan has done the opposite. The Yankee fan, after acquiring Juan Soto and trading for Alex Verdugo, and signing Marcus Stroman, even though, yes, they wanted more, no doubt, felt pretty freaking good about this team. And, yes, things have happened in spring training. I want to acknowledge the Gerrit Cole injury, Aaron Judge giving you a scare, DJ LeMahieu starting the year on the IL. But it feels like the Yankee fan has gone from, we can win the World Series, we're the Yankees, the evil empire is back, into, we suck. Maybe Baseball Reference is right. We're going to lose 90 games.
I think there is an immediacy bias that's happening. Because think about the Met fan. For this whole offseason, through spring training, it was like, oh, what moves did they made? What have they done? Not counting the fact that Edwin Diaz is back and Pete Alonso is hopefully going to continue to be great. Like, forget the stars that are here already. The fact that the Mets didn't do a lot made you feel like, oh, they're not really. I mean, because many times we talk about this, Mets are punting the season. And we didn't believe that.
I didn't believe
but
that.
But a lot of people were saying that. And it was probably a residual from the Max Scherzer and Verlander stuff at the end of last season where they said it, even though the Mets didn't necessarily say it, even though it was a completely different regime. But I think the immediacy bias of doing something makes the Met fan say, hey, all right, we're trying to win. We went and got the best DH in this past, from this entire offseason, and JD Martinez. So we're doing something right now, which means we're going forward, which hypes you up a little bit. And for the Yankee, it's just like, all right, we're fantastic. We're sitting exactly where we need to be. Juan Soto's here. Judge is going to be healthy, have a rebound season. Stanton looks amazing. Rizzo's healthy. And then right before spring training ends, Garrett Cole's out for a month. And DJ LeMay, he's got a bone bruise that's, you know, who knows how long that's going to keep him out. So it's just like this immediate one or two things, nothing big, but one or two things make the immediacy bias swing the other way, swing you as the fan the other way.
I think that's a great explanation on what's going on. Do you buy this too, Sean?
Yeah, I also just think the bottom line is this. Spring training's too freaking long, and I think that plays into this so much,
good
too.
Point.
That we just start with this in mid-February. How do you feel? How do you feel? And it's natural human instinct. Anything we think in life, right. We flip-flop in our brain more than anything.
Especially when nothing's happening.
When nothing's happening, and now we've spent all this time marching into the pot. How do you not at some point start to look at things from a different point of view? Both from the Met fan now going, you know what, maybe it's not so bad, because you've already spent 4 weeks thinking it's going to be bad, and vice versa with the Yankees.
Yeah, I think the Met fan wants, and maybe this is a part of something I do a lot, though there have been years in which I go in not feeling very good. You want to talk yourselves into hope because we're about to embark on a six-month season. And there's nothing more depressing than thinking it's over before it starts. And baseball is very different than some other sports, like the NBA in particular, where you kind of know you're dead even before it starts. But I put a poll out earlier today to Met fans. I said, what do you think? Like, how do you feel about this season? 40% of people said they're going to make the playoffs. They're going to win in the mid to high 80s and make the postseason. 40%? To me, that is a shockingly high number. I thought I was on an island by myself thinking they had a chance to do it. 42% said low 80s, missed the playoffs, which, by the way, is still taking the over, if you think that. So that means 82% of people who claim to be Met fans on social media, certainly not a perfect science, thinks they are an above 500 team. Then you had just 14% saying they're under 500. And 4% going the extreme by saying they're going to win more than 90 games,
very, very inexact science, by the way.
Yes.
Yeah, I was one of the 14%.
I was just saying,
you said under 500?
I did.
And you still feel that way?
No, I just wanted to screw you, Paul.
No, you do feel that way because in February, when we sat together and I said, and I begged the Mets for a stick, your point to me was, they're going to stink either way. What good does it do by adding J.D. Martinez? Your words, not mine.
My
so
stink.
You obviously
my stink,
thought they were going to stink.
My stink was 80 to 82 wins. I think that stinks in New York terms with our
plus 500 team. But nowhere near one of the dominant teams in the division.
Right. Probably finish six games out of a wild card spot.
Well, and here's the other thing that's very, very important that people need to realize. The playoffs for the New York Mets, if that's where this thing ends, and I don't give a crap if it's 81 wins or 89 wins that gets you there. Because we are living in a world in which it is possible, and it will happen, that an 81-win team is going to make the playoffs. Trust me. I've done the research. Look at the last 10 years. Under this playoff format, you will find it. It will happen. The New York Mets do not make the postseason. In fact, I did some math. I had some fun math, and I wanted, because Tiki loves math, I wanted to show him.
I do. Neither of us could do it yesterday.
Well, this one I did ahead of time, so it's all correct.
All right, good.
Since 1995, so we're talking about the last little under 30 years. Mm-hmm. The New York Mets have made the playoffs 21% of the time, six times. That's the lowest number of any New York sports team. Just to give you perspective, the New York Yankees have made it 24 times.
Over the last 30 years?
That's correct. Four times more than the Mets. That's an 83% clip. That number is higher than basketball teams like the Nets and the Knicks, who you would think it's easier to make the playoffs.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medela is your reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
So 83% of the time.
You excluded football, obviously.
No, I included football. You want their numbers?
Yes.
Okay, fine. The New York Giants have made it 35% of the time. Mm-hmm. The New York Jets have made it 24% of the time. Still ahead of the Mets.
That is bad, man.
Still ahead of the Mets. So here's what every person needs to understand. I don't care if it's a Yankee fan. Met fans already know this. Yeah. You don't need me to explain this. This is for Sean. This is for anyone else. If the Mets make the playoffs, I don't give a rat's ass how many wins that is. If they make the playoffs, to quote our current president, though he said it when he was vice president, that's a big effing deal. That's a big effing deal. It's not a big effing deal for you to make the playoffs because you make it 83% of the time.
Not last year. I think the one thing, and this is Steve Cohen that I'm going to talk about right now, because when he first came here, the only thing that we wanted to believe was that the Mets were going to be perennial. Not just in the postseason, but getting towards the NLCS, competing for a championship. Because that's what he said. Like, I want to win a championship in whatever the time frame was. I think it was 5 years. Right? We thought that that's where they were going to be consistently. And he hasn't been that way.
Yeah.
And I know it's frustrating to him, but it's probably more frustrating for the fan.
Yeah, we expected
it. Because the expectation shifted without any evidence that it should shift. But because he said it, because it was something that ownership hadn't done.
Money, too. We expected that the money would help kind of buy that guarantee, if you will.
Of course. Mm-hmm. But as we kind of find in life, money that can't buy you happiness,
man. I totally get it.
And money can't buy you wins or consistent playoff appearances.
But that's why, and I'm glad you brought this up. This is me speaking, me, the Met fan. 5 years from now, if we're lucky enough to still be doing this show all together, I will probably have a very different attitude on March 27th, 2029. I'll probably say playoffs. That's not the bar. The bar is a championship. The bar is the LCS. Basically the way Yankee fans talk. We're not there yet.
Yeah.
I mean, in my lifetime, I just gave you the numbers. That's my lifetime. I'm 40 years old. A lot of people listening are younger than that. Some are 40 years old. 6 times this franchise has made the playoffs. So I am not in that world yet that you described. I'd love to be in that world where playoffs are guaranteed and making the playoffs isn't enough.
But I think
right now it is.
Right, but I think the Met fan thought they were going into the world.
We thought
that they were getting supercharged into that world.
You know when we thought that? Not only when Steve bought the team, but after the 100-plus wins in 2022. We figured we'll be there every year. And then guess what happened? Reality, known as 2023, slapped us in the face. And we all got humbled, and we remembered who the hell we are, which are losers.
Stop.
And we've got
peasants.
Peasants. And we have a long way to prove otherwise. So making the playoffs, and if this is a loser mentality to the Yankee fans listening, that's fine. Just understand where I'm coming from. Making the playoffs is a big effing deal. And if the New York Mets are playing October baseball this year, I will be giddy.
Every Met fan will be giddy, and we will say, wow, this is special. Because here's the thing about Tom Lugauer, Evan Roberts, and I can guarantee you Sal Licata. Mm-hmm. They remember every playoff game we have seen this franchise play. Test them. Test me, test Tommy, test Sal. We remember it. Why? Is it because we're geeks? Not really. Even though I'll admit I'm a geek. It's not the reason.
Right. It's because there's so few.
Because there's so few. Because, yeah, we remember the NLCS of 99. How many NLCSs do we have? You sons of bitches are in the playoffs every year. You get them confused. You literally say, wait, was 2011 the year that Jeter got hurt? Or what was the year we beat the Orioles? Oh, what was the year when Ibañez pinched it for A-Rod?
They all blend together. You're right.
Let me tell you something, Sean. They don't blend together for us.
That's a luxury.
That's a shame. It sucks to suck. by the way, 84 is your magic number. That was the Diamondback number last year. And let this be a PSA to Met fans. I've done the accounting, and I'm not usually good at this. The Diamondbacks were 16-13 in March and April last year. That's not. They're hovering around 500. Don't hit the panic button, even if you have high expectations, if you're just trying to get to that 85-win plateau of getting there. You could play 500 baseball in April and be totally fine.
I hear what you're saying, Sean, but I wonder how long this lasts. I wonder how long we can keep using the examples of the Phillies and the Diamondbacks.
Every year, because it's going to happen.
It's going to happen every year. No, that's what I'm saying. How many years consecutively is this going to happen? Right? It's been a few now, because you even go back to the Braves, right, who made those moves.
You're 100% right. The Braves were trailing the Mets basically all year long, made all these trades at the deadline for non-superstars, got hot, won the World Series. And that's the one year the Braves won when they weren't even that good.
That's right.
Without Acuña.
But since then, it kind of feels like almost every year there's one team that comes out of nowhere. You know, the trail horse that finds its way to come down the stretch and get to the lead.
We will use I'm going to answer your question this way. We will use it for as long as we have to use it. Mm. The Yankee fan right now, at least the one with expectations, doesn't use it that way. They expect we should be good enough to make the postseason. But when you are a mid-80s win team, which is my expectation, and apparently now a lot of Met fans' expectations, that's the formula you're going to use, because no one's going to argue the Mets are better than the Braves. I wouldn't do that. I'm not that stupid. I'm not that naive. But what we could argue, because it's just based on reality, is they could be good enough to make the playoffs. Mm-hmm. And once you're there,
anything happens.
All bets are off.
All it takes is getting hot.
That's it.
That's every sport. It's every year. But you still got to get there. And I wonder how often this is going to keep happening, because it feels like an anomaly. Like the era of, we're great, we know we're better than you, and we're beating you regardless. It almost feels like it's ending.
Yeah.
Especially in baseball. Other sports different, but in baseball, it feels like it's ending.
Let us go to Mike in Elmont, New York. Good afternoon, Mike.
Hey, what's up, guys?
What's up?
Listen, I just wanted to put my little Mets prediction. I'm a 35-year-old Mets fan, so I relate to you, what you're saying, all those years. I was at the 2007 Tom Glavin game with my brother. It was his 10th birthday. I took him on his birthday.
Geez.
Yeah, so we're going to the game. We're going to opening day. So we're super excited. I'm excited about the JD Martinez deal.
Mm-hmm.
And honestly, I'm really excited about Alvarez. I think we're going to make the playoffs, and I think Alvarez is going to have an all-star season. He's going to have a huge defensive year. He's going to be protected with JD. And I feel like it's going to be Alvarez to the playoffs.
I think it's a great prediction. So yesterday on the show, you can listen to the podcast if you missed it, I made Tiki and Sean make a list of the most important New York Yankees. And it was interesting. Like, okay, this guy's got to be real good. This guy's got to be real good. I would certainly make the argument that Francisco Alvarez's emergence in year two is the most important Met. And that was something I really felt before JD signed, because I looked at him as the protection for Pete. Mm-hmm. And even so with JD signed, I think Alvarez taking that jump to the next level and being one of the young stars in baseball, especially as a power hitting catcher, could really change this lineup from, yeah, they can be pretty good, to dynamic. If Francisco Alvarez is what we think he can be, and in his rookie season, Tiki, he had a great month and he had a crappy month, and he had a great month and he had a crappy month, but we saw the potential and we saw that clutch gene. Oh, did we ever from Francisco? That can really change how good this lineup can be.
Yeah, I mean, the thing I appreciated most about him last year was that the knock on him was his defense. The knock on him was his ability to be behind.
And how off was that analysis?
Oh, it was terribly off. In fact, Scherzer was the one that first gave us the idea that a kid might be better than people are saying.
Don't use his name around here anymore, please.
You know, he's on my fantasy team, so I'm sorry.
Oh, that's right. You dirty, dirty
bastard. But you know what I mean? In spring training, they were talking about how good or how much that guy, who's now a Ranger, liked to pitch to Francisco Alvarez. And then we just saw it, right? We saw it in games. And we saw him, I don't know, timely making a mound visit.
No,
when he
could
tell his pitcher was flustered. And he played so much older than he seemed.
And there's an advanced metric that defines pitch framing. Francisco Alvarez was third in Major League Baseball as a rookie. By the way, I want to thank our last caller because he gave me a very easy promotion for My Mets Bible on sale on Tuesday, April 2nd.
I'm a loser.
That game in 2007, the Tommy Glavine game. Oh, it's in the book already.
I'm a loser.
Oh, it's in the book already. And by the way, very excited to announce that we have some book appearances that are, of course, brought to you by Tiki Barber. And brought to you
by... I'm the
sponsor. Yeah, you're the sponsor. And Evan Roberts. And Town Fair Attire. So thank you, Town Fair Attire. We're coming to Staten Island on Wednesday, April 10th at Barnes & Noble, Staten Island on Richmond Avenue. April 10th, 7:30, or when we show up, because we do a radio show, so it may be a little bit later than 7:30.
It'd be a pain in the ass getting over there.
And then 2 days later, we're coming to Queens. We're going to the Astoria Bookshop at Court Square Theater on April 12th. So check it out. You like that promotion? That was pretty good, right? Squeeze that in there.
I think you're doing a good job there, Evan.
You coming to those, Sean?
Yeah, we'll see what happens.
Oh, that means no. Lugie, you coming?
I'll be there. I just need a ride and somebody to pay for dinner for me. And I'll be there.
Oh, that's easy. I always take care of your dinner.
Emotional support. I'll be there. Yeah.
Queens hit.
I mean, you're not going to Staten Island?
The island of Staten.
It takes a lot for me to get over that Verrazano Bridge. Too,
yeah. What's wrong with Staten Island? It's a beautiful island.
To some.
By the way, I am so curious about the turnout for Staten Island. I heard there are no Met fans on Staten Island. That's the rumor I heard. Yankee fans, come on down.
There's no way that could be the case.
That's what I've been told.
No, it's a bad read. I've been defending the honor of Long Island people. Like, there's no Johnny Yankee fans. I'm sure there's plenty of Met fans on Staten Island.
All right. Well, Yankee fans, you're more than welcome to come. Or Tiki Barber fans. Or Saquon Barkley, if you'd like to show up. Joe is in Milford, Connecticut. What's up, Joe?
Hey, how you doing, guys?
What's up?
Good, what's up?
Evan, I see what you're doing here. I see what you're trying to put doubt in the Yankee fans' faces. I'm one of those SOBs from Connecticut. I see what you're doing.
What am I doing?
And I think you're like the little brother and the big brother. When the big brother is getting a spanking from mom, the Met fans are sitting in the corner like the little brother, wringing their hands, giggling a little bit like, oh, look at the injuries they have. Look at the injuries. Yeah, yeah. And then you capitalize on that, and you're running with
That's
it.
Great.
I see what you're doing.
Well, all I'm doing is saying something that a lot of you guys don't have the balls to say. Mm-hmm. I think you're good. I think you're winning the American League East. I think your lineup has a chance to be dynamic. I think you're better than you believe. And I want to compliment Sean Morash and Brian Cashman. Okay, both guys. We'll start with Sean. Sean said something, I think it was pretty obvious, but he was the first one to say it, so I want to give him credit, that the Yankees were going to make a move for an infielder, that this 26-man roster is not set. And he was clearly 1,000% right about it. And I want to give Brian Cashman credit. And for the Yankee fans that are not familiar, let me help you out. Actually, you don't even need to listen to me. Ask a Met fan. Ask a diehard Met fan in your life about John Birdie. And you know what they're going to tell you? Pain in the ass. That's what they're going to tell you. John Birdie is a pain in the ass Met killer. Now, forget that he's a Met killer. He's now a member of the New York Yankees because the Yankees traded Ben Roethlisberger and got John Birdie back. John Birdie is a super utility guy. He could play anywhere in the infield, but really can play third base. In fact, I'd start him over Oswaldo at this point. I would give John Birdie that opportunity, especially on opening day against a lefty. Mm. Oswaldo is a switch hitter that can't bat right-handed right now. He's actually going to bat left-handed most of the time. So John Birdie should play opening day against Framber Valdez. But here's what John Birdie is. He can run. He can hit a little bit. He's a good little versatile player, and you got him for a song, and he makes the Yankee bench deeper. Even when DJ's healthy, that's a really good bench piece to have. So no sarcasm here. Sometimes those small moves matter, especially if you're going to overcome injuries, and I think that was a good little move by the Yankees, and I'm happy because I don't have to face him anymore.
If I may. It is high. It is far. It is birdie, birdie good.
That's what you came up with?
Yeah. Instead of pretty, pretty good?
Birdie, birdie good?
Yeah.
How about it's a birdie bath?
Or something like that.
Bye, bye, birdie.
Yeah, that's better. It.
That's better.
It. Come on.
John Birdie goes deep. Bye, bye, birdie.
Yeah, that's it.
That's better.
We came to a conclusion.
Yeah.
By the way, this would be a good time to tease.
Tease what? What are you, like the producer now? What do you want to tease?
John Sterling?
Oh, yeah. Well, why don't you do it then, since you're
coming up
at
about 5:50 this evening. Stay with us for our grand finale John Sterling montage. Every John Sterling call crammed into one segment.
Well, okay, first of all, this is why you should never tease anything. I never said what it was. I just said it was the John Sterling grand finale.
This is why I gave you the cue ball to do the tease.
I was leaving it to the imagination of our listeners. You decided just, here's what it is.
Well, there you go.
Yeah, you'll get to hear a lot of great John Sterling calls coming up at 5:50. A very busy Wednesday in New York City. The Mets officially rained out for tomorrow, if you're just tuning in. So opening day at Citi Field will be pushed back till Friday, where the weather will be a lot better. So that's good. It's now a 1:40 first pitch. So if you had tickets for opening day for Thursday, you use it on Friday. Yankees still on. The Yankees' own opening day. Thursday, 4 o'clock, 3:30 pregame show right here on The Fan. Framber Valdez, Nestor Cortez, the New York Yankees, the Houston Astros. Now, we do have breaking news in the NFL that I found out off air, so this is not an on-air reaction to it. I just found out 5 minutes ago, and my first reaction was a little bit of disappointment, but I understand it. And that is Jadeveon Clowney is not signing with the New York Jets. Jadeveon Clowney is signing a one-year deal with the Carolina Panthers. And Jadeveon was at Jet Camp, I think about a week ago. Clearly, there was a little bit of a mess up by NYJ Matt, who did not send a sandwich to Jadeveon. And I think that is now the free agent expectation when you go to Jet Camp, is that you get taken care of with a beautiful breakfast sandwich. Was never sent. So I love you, NYJ Matt, but you may have dropped the ball.
Maybe he didn't want Jadeveon Clowney.
Maybe.
Even though he had a pretty good season last year.
Look, I would have liked Jadeveon Clowney. He's become sort of this journeyman guy after being drafted number one overall by the Texans. He bounces around the league. Mm-hmm. He's still a good, useful player. It would have been a nice addition. To me, it was never an essential addition. Plus, the focus to me is improving this offense. You know, adding Mike Williams and obviously what's next, considering the draft is a month from today, actually, or a month from yesterday, whenever it is. So it's more in kind of like an innocent disappointment. And I also assume, Tiki, I haven't seen the finances on it, that A, Carolina paid him more, and then B, they probably promised him a more pivotal role, don't you think?
Yeah, probably, you know, less sharing, maybe more of a an every down type of role. But I mean, last year, his deal when he signed with Baltimore was only for $2.5 million.
That's it.
And there was an incentive on the back end. He ended up making about $4 million last year. My point is, it wasn't for a ton of money that he signed for, and he really hasn't signed for a ton of money these last couple of years, previously with Cleveland and then with Baltimore last year. So it seems like it could have been had. It probably was a playing situation decision.
You know what else?
What's that?
Geography. He's from South Carolina. Mm. He went to South Carolina. Now, my math also tells me that Charlotte, North Carolina, and Rock Hill, South Carolina, is probably like a long drive.
Yeah.
It's not exactly five minutes away. But nevertheless, maybe it was a Carolina thing for Jadeveon.
Yeah, and it's not, I mean, let's see, how old is he?
50 minutes, by the way.
50?
Yeah, it's an hour, less than an hour.
Oh, I apologize. My geography was way off. I thought it was going to be like 4.5 hours.
50 minutes.
Yeah, that's nothing.
That's not, I mean,
dude, that's New York to New Jersey sometimes.
Yeah, exactly right. And he's 31, just turned 31 years old.
That's got to be
it. It's not like he's done. I mean, he probably has a couple more years left in him, especially even if he becomes a situational player.
Dude, he had 9.5 sacks last year.
That's what I mean. But yeah. Maybe he's got 4 years left in him. I don't see him being in Carolina for 4 years, but I'm sure it had something to do with it.
Yeah.
Towards the end of your career, you've bounced around three times in the last 4 years. So you likely just want to be close to home.
No, it makes sense. It does make sense. Hour away from hearing from Bad Tiki. If you missed the top of the show at 2 o'clock, you can rewind the Odyssey app. Saquon Barkley talked openly about Tiki Barber saying he was dead to him on the Jason Kelce, Travis Kelce podcast. We played it. Tiki responded. Rewind to about 2 o'clock. You could hear it. We've talked a lot of baseball, Mets and Yankees, and expectations. The Met fan seems more positive heading towards opening day, and the Yankee fan is starting to go down. In the next 10 minutes, we address why Jordan Montgomery is not on either team. But right now, let's go to Greg, or I should say Glenn, in Clifton, New Jersey. How are you, Glenn?
How we doing? Not too bad. How you guys doing?
We're good, Glenn.
Good. What's up?
Just to touch on what you were talking about, you know, there seems to be an underdog that comes through every year.
I think we lost you, Glenn, but yes, there seems to be that underdog every year. I mean, think about some of the teams that were in pennant races last year in the National League. So think about some of the teams that actually snuck in and made the playoffs. So I think that also adds to the possibility of, even if the Mets aren't coming in with the gigantic expectations of a year earlier, there is some hope. Ed is calling from Belmore. What's up, Ed?
Hey, I just wanted to ask Evan, did you notice that once you got your beard in full effect, these Yankees started dropping? Was that part of your plan, Evan?
My evil plan to grow a beard and cause Yankee injuries. I wish I could say that was my evil plan.
I'm trying to think of the connection. Is the connection because of the hair policy with the Yankees?
Oh.
The no facial hair, no long hair policy.
And I've also
Yankees?
Opposed the Yankee policy.
You have. And your hair, despite everyone talking about your beard, your hair is also getting longer to the point where you have to actually pay attention to it.
What does that mean? Oh, yeah. I have to pay attention.
Like, you can't just get up and be like, it's good to go. You gotta actually, like, do some work.
I put some gel in there today.
I know.
A nice comb today, it looks like.
No, the way I approach this every morning now with my hair is I attempt to comb it and gel it every single day. Sometimes I'm like, oh, I like what I see. I'm going to go through my day with this beautiful hair. Mm-hmm. And then there are other days where I don't like what I see. I give up and I either put a bandana on or I go hat. That's where I'm at. Like tomorrow, or I should say Friday. Oh, I shouldn't say that because I haven't told anybody my plans. If I go to a Met game on Saturday, because I'll go Saturday, I would never miss work on Friday. If I go Saturday to the Met game, I probably go like winter hat. I probably go like big skull cap.
Do you think you're going to get to the point, Ev, this summer where you become ponytail guy through the loop of a Met hat?
Yes.
Wow, yes. No hesitation.
I tried to make, because
here's
funny.
Have you ever done that before?
No, but last night I tried to make a ponytail. It didn't work. Like, I'll show you right now. Like, I just don't have enough hair. Like, I bunch it together. Yeah. It's a tiny tail. It's not a ponytail. It's like, it needs some bitsy tail.
Maybe by midsummer.
I think so.
You'll have a shot at it.
I think there's a chance by my birthday on 7-Eleven, I got a shot. Speaking of 7-Eleven.
7-Eleven.
Speaking of 7-Eleven. You guys ready for this crap? So, I read the big Powerball number yesterday.
Mega Millions.
Mega Millions. Mega Millions number was at $1.1 billion. Set it on the air at like 620. I was like, holy crap.
1.13 to be exact.
So Tiki tells me they have sold the winning ticket. They sold it in where?
Monmouth, New Jersey.
Monmouth, New Jersey!
At a liquor store.
At a liquor store!
Hey, man, I need another bottle. Hey, just give me a 7-Eleven, 22, 29, 38, and throw number 4 on the Mega Millions.
And 7-Eleven was the first two numbers.
And he nailed it.
And he nailed it. By the way, you know what I'm a little nervous about? So Friday night after the show, I'm doing an event with Joe Beningo. Joe B does this great podcast event like once every month. He does it at Hackensack Brewery. I'm going to be hanging out with him. By all means, you're free on Friday night. Come hang out. It should be a fun time. What if Joe won? He ain't showing up Friday.
Is he that far down that he would go to a liquor store in Monmouth?
No, County? I'm just stereotyping New Jersey.
Joe would go.
You think he would go?
I think having this plan, fans in, Joe would go.
Let's just go down this rabbit hole that Beningo bought the ticket in Monmouth. All right? Just went down there, said, ain't there, why not?
Playing golf. Got this, it's a cold day, I know. It's whatever. I want to hit up this course. I heard of it. It's public. It's going to cost me $10.
Perfect. Yeah, exactly. Right? You painted the perfect story. So he goes home. Terry checks it, and she's like, holy crap, we just won $1 billion. Does Joe show up to his own event Friday night, or is he like, I'm out of here?
No, he shows. He's just done scheduling them going forward.
It's his last podcast ever.
I think he shows. I think Joe's a man of the people. He would show up. Also, this isn't waking up early. It's a Friday night.
Yeah.
It's a night out.
Mm-hmm. No, I
he's going to enjoy it. It's like it's cathartic for him.
Yes.
It's one of those things that makes him feel good and be amongst the people.
Yeah, I agree with you. He shows up. I think it's his last podcast ever. I think we never hear from him on WFAN again, other than when I call him and say, hey, can you come on with me and Tiki? He's done. And I think he ends up in Florida. Not even Florida. Maybe he goes somewhere even nicer. And just, we never hear from him again. But if I won the Mega Millions, I swear to God, and I used to say this to Craig. He thought I was crazy. I'll say it to you. I win the Mega Millions, the Powerball, whatever it is. I win $1 billion. I'm coming in. I'm not even quitting.
You're a pig.
Show continue. What do you mean I'm a pig?
Okay, I've thought about this long and hard. And I think everybody should think
You'd
about it.
You'd be done?
Yeah, and it's not selfish. It's actually selfish to keep your job.
Why?
Because you have $1 billion, Evan. How about get the heck out of the chair and give a job to somebody else who might be ambitious and looking to do it?
Okay, so what are you going to do then? Nothing?
Yeah, or you invest your money, have a little podcast from home to wet your whistle. Keep doing the Rico Bronya. I would do it, by the way. Pat Boyle will be here tomorrow. I'd quit in a second.
Yeah, but your reasoning is BS. Like,
no, it's not.
Tiki was saying the right thing. He's like, you're worried about yourself, right?
Yeah.
What are you going to do? If you like doing the job, you shouldn't worry about, well, I want to give someone else a job.
Do you love your job?
I love my job.
So then why would you quit doing it?
Because I would still find outlets to do it. I would do 15 one giant steps
a
week.
But it's not the fan.
I understand
nobody's
it's not the fan.
Nobody's going to care.
But ultimately, I am not a selfish person.
No, but
I want $1 billion.
But Sean, here's the flaw in your logic. Let's take a really talented guy like Stephen A. Smith.
Okay.
Stephen A. makes a lot of money. I'm not here to count his money. I'm here to use him as an example that he loves what he does. Stephen A. makes a ton of money. If he wanted to, he could retire and say, I'm out.
Of course.
But he does it because he likes doing it. Is he a selfish pig?
No.
Yeah, should he give his job to somebody else because he's made whatever he's made over the last 5 years?
If Stephen A. has $1 billion in the bank, I think he should. I don't think he has $1 billion. We're talking about $1 billion.
What's the cutoff for you where it's so much money that you don't...
You're making $3 million a year. Keep your job.
At what point can you not spend it? That's really
I think when you get
about.
To the point where grandchildren you don't even have yet, you know, are taken care of for life, you can move out of the way and let somebody else take a job.
I wouldn't tell you guys I won. And I'd just come to work.
By the way,
I believe that.
We may not notice. You'd be dressing the same.
I don't know if I could pull that part off where I don't tell them. But I would still, like, if something fulfills you and you like doing it, you're not going to stop doing it because it's like, hey, I got to give this person a job. Because no one who's that successful walks away and says, I just want to give someone else a chance. You think Francesa walked away because he wanted to give someone a chance? He just didn't want to do it anymore.
No, but
he made plenty of money.
Dude, do you remember?
How about coaches in the NFL? How about athletes?
Do you remember about
give someone else a chance.
You remember dreaming about doing this job, Evan, one day, little kid?
Right, but what is that?
There's 20 other kids out in that newsroom getting the job. Everybody moves up a peg.
Sean, I'm a loser.
Get out of the way.
Sean, forget me, forget Tiki. We're not winning. What about those that are already there? Is LeBron James being selfish because he still plays basketball?
A perfect example. I was getting ready to bring him up. Why is LeBron James still playing basketball?
He's selfish. He's taking a roster spot away from somebody, right? Sean?
You can make that case.
He is a billionaire, right? So why is he still playing basketball
at
39 years old?
I would argue, he wanted to play with his son.
His son's not going to be good enough.
Look, I can only speak of this from my point of view and what I would do. What I would do is say, I love you guys. I'll see you. Let's get together at a barbecue.
No, you know why you keep doing it, Sean? Because you want to accomplish something greater. You want to be the ultimate success. You want to rise. You want to climb
the
ladder.
You're right. Now you're making me look like I'm a piece of garbage when I have good intentions.
I am. Because you don't quit just because you have money. You're not doing it for the money. You're doing it because you love it.
You can quit if you have the money. Loogie's always said he'd run away. He'd actually leave his wife. Do you stand by that?
So, I like just put this on the public record. If I won $1.1 million or $1 billion, I'd be out of here. My wife would hit the bricks. Sydney Sweeney would be my wife. I'd be in Cancun somewhere on a yacht hanging around supermodels. Yeah, I'm not going to come work in radio and trek to Manhattan.
By the way, here's what I respect about what Tommy said. Tommy was like, I got $1 billion. This is what I'm doing. Okay. He didn't break up with his wife thinking, I want to give someone else an opportunity to be with her.
I cut her a check. And if I had kids, they'd be on the first flight out of here too. See ya. I'm going to go live my life now.
See?
I'm going to see if I could spend all of it.
Now, I disagree, but I respect that. You're giving us this BS of, I want to help out Pat Boyle so he can take my job. Lukey didn't mention who's taking his job
because
he doesn't give a rat's ass.
Because selfish, not really selfish, good heart. I'm selfless. What you finding out is I'm the most selfless person here?
He's so full of crap.
Somebody just won $1 billion in New Jersey, and we're all jealous. That's what this
is. Definitely. Imagine how much Wawa they're eating today.
I'm still imagining. I'm going to be at Beningo's podcast, right? We're going to be talking about the Mets. He'll be bitching about it, and he's going to say, bro, I got to tell you something. Yeah, what's up, Joe? Just won $1 billion.
I won $1 billion.
Imagine that. Just won $1 billion, bro. After this, you are never going to hear from me. Let's go to Nick in Staten Island. What's up, Nick?
Hey, what's up, guys?
Yo, what's up, Nick?
First of all, I just want to say, number one, Tiki, it's just an honor to speak to one of the greatest class act running backs in the NFL.
Appreciate you, my friend.
Ever? No, absolutely. And then I have a little gripe with Mr. Roberts.
Yes, what's up, man?
What I do? So, everybody calls the gripes for you, Evan.
So, yeah, I got gripes.
You're saying there's no Met fans on Staten Island?
No, that's what I've been told. Are you telling me that's not true?
Yeah,
it's filled with Met fans?
Set the record straight.
Man. I'm Mr. Met.
Yeah. Okay.
Like, literally?
I'm Mr. Met.
And like, you live on the island of Staten, and you're telling me there's a lot of people around you that love, you know, the Mets.
Of course.
All right. Can I ask you a question?
Yeah, we have Yankee fans, Giant fans, Jet fans. All right, well, since you're, mean, there's a lot of Mets fans on Staten Island. And then I hear you're going to
Barnes & Noble.
Barnes & Noble?
Yeah.
So which one is that in the mall?
I'll tell you the address because I've been to Staten Island like once in my life. 2655 Richmond Avenue. 2655 Richmond Avenue.
Nick, I got
Barnes and Noble.
That's in the Staten Island Mall. So you're going to be next to Shake Shack.
Nick, I got a question for you. Are you telling us that you are Mr. Met, like the guy in the outfit?
Take it easy.
That's what I'm saying, man. You're a Met fan. That's winning the lottery.
That'd be fun.
You know what? I wish I was.
So, Nick, I just want to make sure. I will see you April 10th at 7:30 at Barnes & Noble in Staten Island. Is that what you're telling me?
I live like four blocks from there, and you're right next to Shake Shack and all the restaurants and stuff like that. It's right in the middle of the Staten Island Mall.
All right.
Nick, is there a Cheesecake Factory there?
A Cheesecake Factory. There's a lot of stuff. There's a lot of good stuff there.
You know what just happened, Nick? And thank you very much for the call. I expect to see you on April 10th now. If you don't, I will be hurt. Sean's now in. Mm-hmm. He heard all that food. He's like, I'm in.
I'm intrigued. Give me a good factory, I'm intrigued.
The one thing I warn you about, and I feel very bad about, especially with Tiki, not with you guys, is that Tiki was kind enough, and I do appreciate it, to do these appearances with me on Wednesday, April 10th and Friday, April 12th. So thank you again.
You're welcome.
But the thing I feel bad about is the day in between that, we're going to an Islander game. So I have somehow got Tiki Barber doing something three nights in a row. So
were you aware of that, Tiki?
Tell your wife I'm sorry. Yeah.
I am now.
By the way, I love the Islanders, but if that's the one you want to skip, we understand.
It's the Islanders.
Huh? What does that mean?
I like John Ledecky.
All right, good. So Tiki's in there
and
for
you
all
lost
nights.
To the Devils the other night. So.
And the Devils have surpassed the Islanders in the standings. I mean, they're both not making the playoffs,
of course
but
not.
What a horrible end to this Islander season. Horrible. Let's go to Marty in Hoboken. What's up, Marty?
Yeah, that liquor store, that's my regular place I go to for like the last 20 years.
To buy lottery tickets or to buy liquor?
No, liquor and sometimes a lottery ticket. I was in there yesterday.
Wow.
I bought something. I don't buy a ticket. My wife wakes up this morning and says, your liquor store won that ticket, had that ticket. Oh. I go, what? I was like, you're kidding me.
Now she's blaming you for not being a billionaire, right? That's what happened.
For not playing that ticket.
I mean, let me tell you something. That's rough.
She might have an argument.
That's rough.
Unless she didn't tell you it was $1 billion.
Yeah. Well, it doesn't even matter.
That's got to be the reminder. Hey, honey, it's $1 billion. Go get a ticket.
But I never understood that, Tiki. If it's $100 million or $1 billion. What's the difference? You win either way. You're set for life.
Yeah, it's true.
So, like, why? I've never understood that. Why, if you're a lotto player, why you would do it for $1 billion, but $500 million, not enough for me.
Because the chances of winning are so small, it's not worth wasting the effort or the $2.
So why would it matter if it's $1 billion? It's the same thing.
No, $1 billion becomes a bigger news story, and the last thing you want to do is know that you had a chance to be that guy and miss out. You kick yourself. You might miss who won the $100 million.
Yeah, okay, people win $100 million all the time.
Gotcha.
They do it as pools. There's one guy who bought 30 tickets for his whole office. He has to split it.
Right.
It's really not that much money. This is one ticket.
No, I gotcha. And speaking of $100 million, and this is the cold, hard reality for everybody out there, Met fans and Yankee fans. Jordan Montgomery signed last night with the Arizona Diamondbacks. He signed this weird Fugazi 2-year deal. It's really a 1-year deal, $25 million. There's a chance he'd get a second year, but he also has the ability to opt out of it. Bottom line is they signed into a 1-year, $25 million deal. If the Yankees or Mets had signed him to that contract, it would have cost them $55 million. I know that doesn't really move Sean as a Yankee fan or Keith as a Yankee fan or Big Mac as a Yankee fan or me as a Met fan. I got a billionaire owner too, right? We're told that he's, you know, this creature that would spend an unlimited gods of money. That's not true. Steve Cohen has a budget. Hal Steinbrenner has a budget. We hope their budgets are really, really high. But both guys made the determination, and it's tough to argue it, even though we don't care,
that $55 million for Jordan Montgomery was insane. And that is why the Mets and the Yankees were always very unlikely to make this deal happen.
Yeah.
The only way it was going to happen is if it was not a short-term deal, you were able to bring down the AAV and the CBT tax, whether it was through deferred money, whether it was through being a longer-term contract. But if you're Jordan Montgomery and you got screwed by Scott Boras, and you did, you're better off getting a one-year deal and restarting next year in the offseason. Mm-hmm. So that's why this guy is not a Met or Yankee. Money. There's no other reason. It's not about confidence in a young pitcher. It's not Luis Gil's great. We need to give him a shot. It's not Tyler McGill's new splitter's amazing. We got it. No. It is all about the money.
Yeah. No, you're right. And it's the same conversation, different outcome that we had about J.D. Martinez. J.D. Martinez is a Met because the money made sense. The way that the deal got structured, the money made sense. Because if it didn't, he wouldn't be here. It's as simple as that.
100%. It's always about money. So I appreciate that. We have two owners in this town that are willing to spend a lot of money. Steve Cohen has proven that. Certainly Hal has proven that. But it's not unlimited. And sometimes we as fans think it's unlimited. It's not unlimited. Back to your calls in a second, 877-337-6666. That's the toll-free number, about 40 minutes away from hearing from Bad Tiki.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.